advised.
Spoiler alert episode. Spoiler.
Please be advised. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Guess what, guys? It's a spoiler ep. Number 33.
Jurassic World.
Eat it.
Jurassic music? Wow, that was great. That really brought me back there.
Spoiler episode, Scottie Pippen.
Pip. Three rings. Twice.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are you doing? Can't sell them short.
So let's get into this movie.
Real quick.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler. This is a spoiler ep. If you haven't seen the movie yet, we will be giving away plot details.
The ending.
Dinosaurs eat people. Just so you know, and we'll be going through the ending, and also we'll be going through the characters in detail, which will not take long. So that's what we will be doing for this episode. So if you don't want anything in the movie spoiled for you, wait and then watch it and then come back.
Okay. So first of all, this hybrid dinosaur that can cloak itself, fucking loved it.
Yeah, like hide the heat signature. And I love, too, that they're like, well, that's classified, like what other DNA is in there. So it was a convenient plot device, like, well, now we can kind of do whatever we want and slowly reveal what other DNA was actually inside the dinosaurs. So,
true. However, you knew immediately there was raptor in it.
There's
the only because, again, raptors have been the villain of basically all of these movies, so you knew they were going to use that, literally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only other thing you could have said was, like you used human serial killer DNA. Like that would be the only really surprising
thing. I thought at some point, it would have been like, well, we used human DNA.
Yeah, I was waiting for that. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Where'd you get the DNA? You know, like they moved the headstones. Like,
exactly.
They just went to bargain basement DNA and just, we got it from a prison. We thought that it.
And cuttlefish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it was great because they established Chris Pratt as this raptor whisperer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? So he can tame them with his hands, which is just like...
Oh, it was great.
So great.
And one of the things...
They'd never be able to do that in a million years.
One of the things I wish would have been a little cleaned up, speaking of that, is like you never really knew what anyone's job was or who was really running the park. Like you have like...
So vague.
Like Chris Pratt is like, okay, well, is he the game warden where he's in charge of all the animals? He's only in this one pen. You never see him anywhere
else. And then he sleeps on a trailer by the river?
He sleeps on a trailer by the river.
Literally, we can look at that. Let's expand that viewpoint really quickly. This is a theme park that services, we're told, 25,000 people at any given time.
Yeah.
A day.
At any given time. Four people work there.
Right, exactly.
And one of them owns it. That's my problem with these.
Kind of knows how to fly a helicopter.
Maybe.
Right. Bumbles around with it.
Yeah. And when there's an attack by dinosaurs, let's have the multi-billion dollar CEO fly into battle. I understand maybe he would go, wee, I want to fly a helicopter, but he would have a phalanx of fucking handlers and went, you're not getting fucking near there, silk suit.
You can't.
Let's get the fuck out of here.
Silk suit.
Yeah, and
not happening.
And hey, payroll. Take a back seat.
No kidding.
You're on the chopper.
You're signing the checks, motherfucker.
You're on the chopper to the yacht that's fucking 40 miles offshore. That's where you're going.
Get the guy from Life of Pi off the island.
Yeah, immediately.
Get him
on a boat with a tiger and sail him the fuck out of here.
And that tiger has no teeth.
So, like I'm watching this. Then, like, Dallas Bryce Howard's character, like, clearly she's in charge of operations, I think. And then when there's a crisis... She leaves. She goes. She literally leaves the control room to go out into the wilderness to find her.
Prep. Did they even have a half prep day for the event that this might happen?
And you have this team of dinosaur capturers who have no idea how to capture a dinosaur with weapons that don't work. And there's no one really in charge of security either. Like normal, like even the first movie, you had like there was head of, you know, you have he's the game warden. There was security, and then these are the owners. And even that was the park wasn't open yet, but you still had a kind of a sense of chain of command. But
again, I didn't even think, you know, because again, we haven't really been introduced to Chris Pratt just yet. So Chris, when the dude comes in, the CEO, and he's like, I want you to meet with this guy, and he's going to come in and make sure that the pen works and all that. And then we cut to Pratt training the dinosaurs.
Right. And he comes from a military background.
Right.
So is he an observer? Is he a visitor? And is he in corporate housing in his
exactly.
trailer?
It makes zero sense. Because, and again, none of this makes sense. But because the CEO talks about him as if he's he's in like another country.
Or like the go-to guy.
Right. And also like he's in another country. Right. Do you know who this guy is? I think I'd like you to meet him.
Right.
Well, and then it turns out he lives in a cabin on the island. Well, how would she know who the fuck he was?
Yeah. And he's at the raptor pen.
And they went on one date apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And but there's still chemistry there. And dude, I don't even want to, like, again, we can nitpick the shit out of this. But like I said, this is the problem with the blockbusters. We had it with Man of Steel and all those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. There's always five people who'd work there. And those are the only people to deal with. In Man of Steel, there was one general who happened to be, he was in like Tokyo and then he was in fucking Copenhagen. And you're like, how the fuck does that happen?
Yeah.
Well, that's like, there's the fucking two nerds who work in the control center.
Right.
And Bryce Dallas Howard and the CEO. That's it. That's the only people in that. And then, and here's my favorite. I have to say this. Who's your favorite guy in the whole movie?
A military guy who wants to turn everything into a weapon.
D'Onofrio, of course.
Yeah.
Clearly a genius. Right. I'm sorry. I'm going to go off the board for this one.
Yeah.
My favorite guy, security guy at the control center.
Oh, yes! That fat guy eating a donut? You are dead, motherfucker.
That guy's finished.
All they needed to do was put him in a red Star Trek shirt, and it's just like, you are gone.
Oh, my God. I'm going different guy. That's your guy? Yeah. No, I'm talking... security black dude in suit. You'd have to have a badge to get in here. Five people.
Oh, yeah.
Every scene they walk by him. D'Onofrio walks by him. Pratt walks by him. Yeah. The CEO walks by him. Everybody. And he stops all of them by that. He goes, no. And then they just ignore him. At one point, he finally just shakes his head. And you're like, that had to be in there as an in joke.
Yeah.
He's this turnkey that everybody just fucking walks past to get into the control center. And he's my favorite guy in the whole movie because his whole line is always, you have to have a badge to get in here.
Yeah.
Sir. He does it five times.
Well, maybe he was one of the characters in the park. He wasn't an actual security guard.
Exactly. Like, he just wandered in.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that the fat dude with the loose tie eating a donut, you're like, that guy is... bait. Oh. Clearly, that guy's getting finished.
And of course, I love that who's in charge of these dinosaurs? The dumbest.
Yes.
Who's running around? Some teenage kid that's like, I don't know the manual on this one.
That was great.
You're definitely running the park.
And then you have like, okay, well, the scientists are making the new dinosaurs. Then, wait, the CEO is in charge of the park. And then you've got the other guy who's in charge of, has a deal with the parent company, but also with the scientists to make and weaponize these dinosaurs. Well, wait, who is actually in charge of anything here? And then you have the, because you have the security guards that are at the park that do nothing to stop the dinosaurs. Then you have the mercs come in later with
team that had a beachhead already established with and fucking like, amphibious
and
assault.
No one notices, like, well, they haven't called you in yet. Oh, they will. Well, you already landed, like, Normandy on the beach to attack all these dinosaurs. And then you have all this firepower, and they're like, well, we should just kind of use the raptors to get the giant dinosaur.
And he's been trying to weaponize raptors for the field of battle.
Since scene one. And there's
and references... Imagine if we had these, and he names
Tora Bora.
Tora Bora. Yeah. Okay.
And what I love too, it's like there's literally no nuance to these characters. It was really funny when you watch him. Like, well, I wonder what he's going to say next. Oh, he probably wants to weaponize the raptors again.
Yeah.
Most likely, that's what he's going to say. And if he said we're going to do this with or without you one more time, I probably would have bailed.
And of course, Vincent D'Onofrio just chewing up
the scenery.
I love him. I've just started watching Daredevil.
Yeah. Okay. He chews the shit out of that.
I just watching him and just. And
he's another guy, like we talked about Cusack, where he can do whatever the fuck he wants. I don't care. Bring D'Onofrio in and let him do D'Onofrio stuff.
You don't have enough guns.
Great.
You don't have enough boats. And, I'm in charge now. I'm like, well, okay. Yeah. Well, glad somebody is
at
this point.
But why is he in charge? He just comes in and proclaims himself in charge. And the guy with the plastic dinosaurs and the nerdy chick just go, cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they're running the whole park.
Yeah.
Those two people. And Bryce Dallas Howard. Look, I understand there has to be weird chemistry and love and kids and all that nonsense for a summer blockbuster. She doesn't belong anywhere near this film. She's this ice princess in the beginning, and then she's wearing the same outfit, and then she watches like 10 people die on a screen. You watch they're literally they have body harnesses on, and all of they go cold. They get murdered by the dinosaur.
Yeah,
and she's like, well, we got to do something about this. And then she finally cries when she sees a brontosaurus die. And I'm like, really? That was what got to you? That was what chipped through your icy veneer was the brontosaurus dying? You watched 9 dudes die in front of you.
That worked for you.
Yes, you knew them. I'm assuming you had a relationship. Yeah. Saw them in the commissary. They ate it. You watched it. And you went out and you sobbed when CGI ate it. You're like, come on.
Yeah. And also, she made it very clear that she didn't see them as animals, too. They were assets.
Yes.
So you would think more, like maybe the people dying would have a more of an emotional effect than the asset.
Or at least she would freak out, maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
And how does, How does fighting dinosaurs change your hairstyle? What the? Do you know what I mean? I mean, I get it. Ice Princess, and it was all coiffed and so in one spot. By the end of the movie, she's Rosanna Dana. Yeah. I mean, it's like all over the fucking joint. And also, Chris Pratt, legendary dinosaur whisperer, amazing military genius, tells her she has no business on the mission. So she takes off her coat and ties her shirt into a halter top, and he goes, all right, well, let's go fight some dinosaurs. Yeah. Come on!
Just means I'm ready. You know, now that was like what, probably like an in-joke kind of thing, because that's like, well, she's coming. She can't be dissuaded. You know, why would she be in the control room, you know, taking care of a crisis? No, she needs to jump off the cliff with Chris Pratt. But now again, this is nitpicky stuff. We all really enjoyed the movie.
I loved
really,
it. Really, but again, this really is all the stuff that you can, if you peel it back, you
If you peel it back, this is going on. Yeah, so don't, that's what we're saying. Don't peel it back.
Don't, as I said in the regular episode, when you're on the roller coaster and it's going through the story of the roller coaster,
yeah, just let
nitpick it. Yeah, don't you really should have cast some better actors or flush that out. Mm-hmm. No, just know you're going to get thrown at 90 miles an hour through a coaster.
Now, I will say there was definitely an effort there, because I recently watched the original Jurassic Park, and also I read the two books. And
I love Jake Johnson's character, who had the old Jurassic t-shirt, and they referenced, hey, the old park, you shouldn't bring that up.
Right.
People died. Yeah, but also, though, this gets to a larger point. He was glib about the deaths of the people in the park. And he even said, I know people died, but, you know, cool shirt, basically is what he says. And this movie has a body count. I mean, this movie has a serious body count that is just completely glossed over. And again, Avengers did, all of those movies do. But it's getting to be, in my opinion, an issue where, there is so much death in this movie. And, you know, and dinosaurs, again, all the people in the park are herded into one spot, and so then they're easy pickings for death from on high when the aviary gets crashed open and all the dinosaurs fly out.
Dude, the pterodactyl attack scene was awesome.
So great.
Yeah, it was incredible.
They're just flying. They're picking people up, just snatching them up and biting them and dropping them out of the sky, and another one bites them midair. So it's just like...
So great. However, once that finally kind of calms down, everybody's just like... Whew, well, let's get some bottled water and relax. No, no. There would be riots. People would be fucking losing their minds. One thing I didn't think it captured was the chaos necessary of 25,000 people who are essentially there to be eaten, and they know it. And they're with their kids. They would do anything they could to claw and scream and get off the island. There's too many scenes of people just kind of sitting around eating bomb pops waiting to be rescued. And it's like, no, dude, fuck that. There's man-eaters all around us. And then when the attack comes... After it all settles down, the people just kind of sit there again and go, all right, well, what's going to happen next?
How crazy it would be if a couple of tigers got out of a zoo.
Out of a zoo, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now times 1,000.
Yes.
That's how you would react. You would
and go you're bananas. On an island where you can't escape.
And you're with your children.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's no guy that can just tranquilize her and the tiger drops. It's like, no, this dinosaur is going to eat everything.
Yeah.
People would, you're right, they would be losing their shit.
They'd be going insane.
Right.
And then there would also be, I almost kind of wish there's another movie to make of the social media Twitterverse when something like that happens, all making fun of those people and going, well, what'd you expect? You went to a fucking dinosaur island. Of course you're going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like there's a funny movie to be made of like the almost like in Die Hard 4 when it was Kevin Smith and his hacker buddy. Like if those two just were like making fun of it on the Twitterverse about, oh yeah, of course you guys fucking went to a dinosaur island. You deserve to be eaten, motherfuckers.
The insensitive snarkiness of the social media.
Or the animal rights activists who are like, or the PETA people who are like, yeah, haha, see what happens when you try to fucking cage these predators? You're all going to die. So to me, there's an interesting spin alternate movie of the people watching that unfold.
Well, I think some of the stuff was touched on like that. Like when what was so odd is like this is where the character inconsistencies were. Like the CEO, when he flew in his helicopter poorly, he was saying, you know, the whole point of the park and the respect nature and have them fear. But then he goes into the scientists, yeah, but you told us to make a bigger killer dinosaur to increase sales. I'm like, but that goes against everything that he just said in the helicopter, you know, and you touch on these great themes of, you know, messing with Mother Nature that the first movie really touched on. But also you add this new element of like, you know, weaponizing animals. And I think there was so much more to be said. And I think there could have been a little more commentary and a little more depth explored there.
Agreed. But I think that is the sequel.
It could be.
To me, because I sat thinking, where does this go? Because obviously, especially after the opening weekend, you're getting another.
You're getting another one. Yeah, and that's a great question. What do you do now? I mean, you can't do another park.
Well, I think now, because again, I think if you're going to take it from where they're at, they've lost the island. The island is now lost to the dinosaurs. So there is no park. There is no theme park. I think your next movie is literally the military has to go in and take back the island. And then it becomes, can you develop the weaponry necessary to secure the island and kill these dinosaurs before they come and find a way to get to the mainland? Exactly. And and granted, they explored that in three, you know, where if it came to the mainland. Right. But I think that's, right now, that's your movie.
That was because, in the first book, too, like them migrating. Like, they would hide on the boats.
Really?
The boats would actually leave the island.
See, that's because I think that's where you have to go now. There is no more theme park element. You can't do that. You've done it. And that last
Times now?
I think you honestly, what you should do, what you're saying, you should go the direction that these Planet of the Apes movies have gone. How now slowly this like war is happening or something. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, genetic guys go nuts, because the thing that was so great about this movie that all those things we just complained about, story structure, logic. We all complain. Having this discussion, the regular episode, I was like, God, I don't know why someone wouldn't like this. You're watching that movie and you're having this discussion in your head. You're like, this is bullshit.
Yeah,
I can see why they wouldn't like it.
You're tuning out. You're tuning out.
But
you have to make a conscious decision that you're going to accept that stuff to see the other cool stuff.
Exactly.
You have to.
It's a very, very large suspension of disbelief. Mm-hmm. It's extra work.
And they basically explained what this movie was in the explanation of the theme park. When they're like, we need a bigger, better, crazier theme park.
Right.
They went, well, we need bigger, crazier. Can't have the same old dinosaur gang.
And then I have like the corporate sponsored dinosaurs. Why not just start naming it after the corporation? So it's like one place where actually corporate sponsorship and like product placement makes sense, because you see all that stuff in a theme park. And what's weird is like that Verizon, I wonder if they
and
even
Samsung.
Got, yeah, yeah. Like, so I'm sure there are some sponsors like, I don't know if I want to, you know, put my brand where a bunch of people are getting eaten by dinosaurs. I'm sure some people turned it down. But like, even when they said that giant dinosaur is like sponsored by Verizon, do you think Verizon, like, we want to sponsor the giant dinosaur?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think they give a fuck, because you know what? Honestly, even if you told the story forever that dinosaur ate 1,000 people, they'd be like, our dinosaur ate 1,000 people. Right. The Verizon wireless dinosaur ate 1,000 people.
And you get rollover people.
Yeah, exactly. you want to talk about that? How does her cell phone work everywhere? And again, that's a problem in all movies.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I'm driving to your house and it's fallen out as I'm trying to go on Facebook.
I'm not worried about the cell phone. I want to know how they got that Jeep working,
dude. Hey, and again, they have to have that weird that exposition. Hey, remember when we helped Grandpa fix that car?
Yeah.
And then the fucking kids fix a kid. Come on, they build a Jeep from 80 years ago. They make it start and they drive off. And again, her phone works all over the island. It never runs out of juice at all. She's like, Larry. She's always calling Larry too, by the way. What the fuck? Is there anybody else who works there? But yeah, so I think corporate people would want their name all over the fucking place.
Well, I'll tell you, the direction this film went, I really liked. I really liked the setup of the theme park. I really love the setup of the giant genetically engineered killer dinosaur. And I love the fact that they acknowledge, well, it's not really a dinosaur. It's literally, we spliced this Frankenstein-y monster together.
Adapting.
Right.
And all that this
it looks like a dinosaur, but it's a killer animal that we created.
The scene where the dinosaur tricks them, and they see scratch marks on the wall, and they're like, the dinosaur is in here. I started to think, oh, shit.
I thought it got out, yeah.
I thought it got out, and then I went, fuck, it's cloaking itself. And I didn't even go, why didn't you just use a goddamn homing beacon from day one? Like, why isn't that
Why didn't you check that first?
Should have checked that first, motherfucker. But I didn't care, because I was like, oh, God, the dinosaur tricked him.
Yeah.
And then when the dinosaur, the technology and the cool when it would cloak and then come out of the cloaking.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
It
was
like, that was awesome. Like, and then.
What was that? A cuttlefish or a chameleon? It was cuttlefish, right? Or was it
cuttlefish?
Chameleon?
Yeah.
Cuttlefish. Yeah. And it was the frog that they said that could slow down its tree frog.
Oh, the thermal signature. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so funny watching it again. You know that the dinosaur is part raptor, but the reveal on the part raptor is so great.
Yeah, it was
really
cool.
And my whole theater went crazy. And it's so funny, because I mean, even I went, in my head, I'm like, well, no, you've known all along, but the reveal, and it's a spoiler episode, so I guess we can say what it is.
Yeah,
say
everything.
They finally go out to catch the Indominus Rex, Indominus Rex.
Whatever.
And they go, they go to catch it, and it's that chase with the raptors, and they're on the motorcycles, and it's this fucking, you know, it's essentially the scene from Jedi, right? Where they're flying through the forest.
And it's also great because they do this great stuff. So then all of the raptors are equipped with cams, and then all of these special
soldiers,
are equipped with cams. So they're cutting between We're actually
the Merc
seeing
cam to the Raptor cam
from the control room. So we're seeing control room, the cams from the, which is awesome.
It's all spliced so perfectly.
And that was when, as I said in the regular episode, I saw this in IMAX 3D. Holy shit.
Yeah.
This stuff. And so then when the reveal happens, now tell the reveal.
Okay, so the Raptors, they've wanted the Raptors, they say it will herd the Indominus Rex into it attacks in packs. And so it's going to herd it into a spot. And once it does, it'll attack. The Raptors will attack. Mm-hmm. So the Raptors herd it. They herd it into a spot, and the Indominus looks at them and then talks to them.
Yeah.
Literally makes like dino, like rah, rah, rah. Mm-hmm. And then the Raptors go, rah, 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 rah. And you immediately just go, fuck, they're talking. And it dawns on all the humans too, where they're looking, and then they just go, wait, what? And it takes Chris Pratt to finally go, that's part Raptor. And then all the Raptors turn to look at the humans, just like it literally right out of pro wrestling, you realize that, oh, those aren't the good guys anymore. Mm-hmm. They're the bad guys. Mm-hmm. And then Chris Pratt goes, Raptors have a new alpha. And you're just like, it's fucking gorgeous, because then the attack starts, and then the Raptors come after, and then they don't attack right away. They disperse.
Right.
And then they come get them in the dark. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, oh, dude, I have goosebumps now talking about
it. The way they did that too. And again, this is why I say the 3D was amazing, because the Raptors on 3D, so you'd see the helmet cam of the mercenary, and the Raptor would come through the screen and just hump. And I jumped back out of my chair. I went, ah! And I was like, I was screaming. And then the whole theater was going, ah! And then would laugh, because they go, oh shit, that was awesome. Like,
it's gorgeous.
It was. And that kept happening. They're in the car, and when one Raptor just comes crashing through the window.
Oh, I was going to say, that looked like it must have been cool in 3D.
That was amazing in 3D, man. I am telling you, anyone watching this who hasn't seen it in 3D.
I mean, really, this is
I'll go back.
Honestly, it doesn't even matter who the human people were in this movie. The stars of the movie. This is the dinosaurs.
It was badass. Yeah. And all that story shit we were just complaining about, which is all legitimate, was gone.
Doesn't matter.
I did not care.
Yeah.
Like, the scene where the kids are in the pod, and they're like, there's four dinosaurs, and the Lord Boy goes, no, there's five. And you're like, God.
He sees the reflection, and you're like,
of the cloaked one becoming uncloaked?
Yep.
Right.
I have two questions about the kids, the Mop Tops. First of all, the older one, did you think they used Johnny Depp's DNA to make him? I mean, not only his face, his voice. I mean, that scene where he's talking to him on the train.
He looks really familiar.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. But he sounds exactly like him. I was shocked. I mean, it sounds like him out of when he would, his old voice from Nightmare on Elm Street. Like when he was talking to Heather Langenkamp, I heard that voice from that kid on that train. And I he looks like him too. I went, oh my Christ. I was stunned.
Don't go to sleep.
Yeah. And then I have a question about the youngest one. Was he autistic, or was he supposed to be, or was he just like a nerdy genius kid?
No, precocious.
Yeah, I think just he was. Precocious. I think he was that sort of.
Well, that scene in the because the opening
genius
scene
brain thing,
and it's also the kind of thing too where here's what they were trying to convey is this kid doesn't fit in. He's a genius. He loves dinosaurs. He's also a little more receptive than the older kid. He knows the parents are getting divorced. So that kind of makes him off a little bit because he knows that's coming.
But that opening scene where he's in the bedroom and he's on the Viewmaster, she takes the Viewmaster out of his hands. He doesn't look at her. He continues to stare straight ahead. And that was the thing that made me go, this kid's autistic.
No, it was more that he knows they're going to get divorced.
Okay.
That's what they were trying to
All right, because I made that leap, and then the whole rest of the movie then is you know,
like the scene is colored by that. The scene was to convey that something's wrong with the family.
Okay, I thought it meant that I took it to mean it was something wrong, a little, not wrong,
right?
But he may have been a little different or had, and but I thought autistic.
Well, that would have been a little bit more character trait that anybody got in the movie. That's you get two dimensions, not three, movie.
Well, I gave him one, so good for him. Take it and run with it.
All right, so let's get into...
that's like if military guy actually had some compassion for someone.
Oh,
you know, that's...
On. Not happening.
And it was so great. First of all, let's talk about that now. Vincent D'Onofrio, the minute he put his hand up, I'm like, oh, they're going to bite your arm off.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
and I knew
of
it was coming, and it happened, and it was great.
Yeah.
And it was just like... and just the way these dinosaurs just went, hump, like not... And there was some fun, real fun misdirection. Like, first of all, Jake Johnson's like, I'm going to stay behind. and then goes in to kiss the girls and goes, whoa, I have a boyfriend. That was fucking hilarious. That was great. The whole theater laughed. And I was like, that was really good. He's like, why didn't you bring it up? I'm at work.
Yeah.
She's a professional. You're a dummy.
And I think this is also, we'll give the director a little credit there because,
Lauren Lapkus.
If you see like,
she's hilarious.
You know, Safety Not Guaranteed, there's a lot of those quirky character moments in there. That I think the movie could have used more of, but there just wasn't time.
I felt honestly, like any of the like cheesy cliche stuff, I felt like, well, that's Spielberg going, this is how summer blockbusters are made, young man. And then any of that like legitimately funny stuff was
snuck in by the director.
Snuck in by the director. That's the feeling. Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong, but and then when the Raptors turn on everybody and start just eating SWAT guys left and right. And then when the aviary, the you know, big Indominus Rex breaks in there and then sets the birds loose and they start killing everybody. That was, well, I want to go to, all right, the ending. When they go, I don't know what happened in your theaters, but when they went, I know one dinosaur we got to get. And they unleash T-Rex. Like, the old man's coming and he's mad. The crowd started cheering.
Yeah, it was great.
It was like...
Because, like, you can't have a Jurassic Park movie and not have a T-Rex. Even if you have a giant killer dinosaur that's a killing machine, you still have to have the T-Rex.
But you're waiting for it all movie.
Yeah, you are.
And also, you also know... Water dinosaur is going to jump up and eat somebody again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, water dinosaur is going to get loose.
Yeah, it's all happening, and you know it's going to happen.
And love that it was like a battle royale at the end. That's what made it so cool. It wasn't like a fight between like the T-Rex and the Indominus Rex. It was literally, it was Raptors, Indominus Rex, T-Rex, and water dinosaur.
And it never ended.
No, it was great.
And once the fighting and the craziness started, any quiet moment was terrifying. There was some slow creep. Like, well, first of all, the opening with the bird on the sand, that was fucking hilarious.
Oh, yeah, that was.
Then they pan back and it's a
crow.
Bird.
Yeah, whatever.
That was great. In the snow or whatever. Mm-hmm. So when there was quiet, all of it got so. And they, and like you said,
knew something was going to happen.
When they did the big head leering in the window, I'm like, God, they've done that shot since day one. But so what? Yeah. I'm fucking terrified. But
they do it like four times in this movie. There was one really, I will say this, there was one totally fake. And it was the only thing that looked fake to me in the movie. When the attack from on high is happening and the kids are running from the pterodactyl. And one of the pterodactyls, Chris Pratt, shoots it and it lands and it's sliding and it's chasing them as they're running. And then they lean up against a wall and its beak comes all the way up to them. That was very Ed Wood lobster claw, you know, leaning into the picture. Yeah, that was the only thing that kind of made me go, because you could almost see the shine on it. You know what I mean?
Right.
There should have been blood or meat or whatever hanging off.
Well, you also have, when you look at back the first movie, it was revolutionary with the special effects.
Oh, sure.
It was a combination, but it was a lot of practical and also... computer effects. Now, I think this one is definitely the opposite direction. This was mostly computer, but there were a couple practical things in there too. Like when you see, like you're talking about that peak that was coming towards the kids. And then also it looked like there was some puppetry, like with the dying dinosaurs when they're holding the heads on the ground. So I think it was almost like, well, we don't know if we even have to do any practical effects, but it was almost like, well, as a homage to...
Like a nod to...
Yeah, to the original movie, I think. Let's have some practical effects still in here.
When the water dinosaur just comes out of nowhere and wins the fight...
Oh, it was
like
great.
T-Rex, T-Rex might die, and then just a hunk. Like, that was great.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. First, the introduction of the water monster.
I was just about to say,
how SeaWorld-y great was that?
Well, I've never been to SeaWorld, but if they don't have that where all the things drop down and you get to look underwater.
The bleachers drop below the water. I was like, someone at SeaWorld.
How are you not building this immediately? Yeah.
That was incredible.
I would pay. You would pay just to do that. If that was a standalone exhibit, if you went in and you saw like a show and then they lowered you and they so theme parky where they went, now we're going to give you a close up look at our Mammalosaurus or whatever the fuck. Yeah. And you go down, you get to see it frolicking. You're like, oh my. And eating the shark. And how great to use a great white shark, the little homage to Jaws and the fucking, and also that's our biggest, scariest thing before.
Right.
Yeah. Not anymore. No, that is no longer.
That's a puppy.
Yeah. That's Bruce the shark. And that's basically your, it's a cricket you're holding up to be eaten by a fucking lizard. It just, it was so brilliant to use the shark.
It was so great too.
And have Jimmy Fallon too doing the,
hi, I'm Jimmy Fallon from the Tonight Show. That was exactly what you would have in a theme park.
Yeah. Oh no, you do. Like if you go to Universal on, that was the whole point. He's on the tram saying that like that exact thing. He does that exact spiel. That's why, like if you've been on that tour, it was even funnier to see that. Cause that's like, hey, I'm Jimmy Fallon. Are you going to enjoy the tram ride?
And
for
then
real?
Like when
it's
the thing gets
now.
Smashed, wow. It's like broken on a loop.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget guys
safety,
or whatever it's saying.
Safety is our primary concern.
Oh my God. When the kids are in that ball, and it's playing with it like a dog that's just like trying, and it's like, and its tooth comes through.
Yeah.
Because you're
it
like,
actually puts its mouth around it and goes, and you hear the crunch, and you're like, oh, he's not going to get him. And then the tooth breaks through, and you're like, no, he's going to fucking get him.
Oh, you're done. Yeah. You're done. Like that.
He's coming through.
And that's the thing I love. There were so many moments like that where you're like, oh, God, they're probably going to get away. Oh, no, they're not. And you better run. And then people are just getting eaten left and right.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the movie, and I know this is cheesy, and I know what's going on. But when the T-Rex comes to the top and stands on the helipad and looks out over and goes, yep.
This is my island now.
But right, and to me, that's the first shot of the next one.
Right.
Because they now own, that's what I mean, they own the island. You've now gone back in time to that era. They own that.
Okay, I will say one thing I don't want to see in the next movie, okay, and I know this is probably being pitched. The next movie is a bunch of teenagers with handheld cameras going to see the island. Let's make sure, please, don't make that movie.
But I wonder, is it going to be, guys, we got a radio message. There's a group of people who have survived. They're hidden, and we got to go rescue them. Is it that? Is that what they do? And then the dinosaurs killed and swim
I think
across?
That's too small a story.
Yeah.
I think you have to go so wide in scope now. Like, literally, it's now... The battle for the Earth has begun. And I know that sounds terrible, but they now own that chunk of Earth. And if they start to migrate, if they start to breed, if they start, I mean, that's, there's no human control anymore there. None. So they are free to be beasts, wild beasts, and to eat and do whatever they have to do. And they need to eat. So they're going to start going into the ocean and adapting to that and trying to find food. And
well, also,
an island off of Costa Rica. So that'd be interesting. They just get to Central America and
they take it over. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like this is the movie. Well, now the battle for the Earth has begun, in my opinion.
The other direction, too, is all the
birds.
They took away.
And they start populating the Earth.
They took all the experiments with them. That's one thing that got to the helicopter. Was all the samples, do they breed a new version of
dinosaur to fight against that version of dinosaur?
And that goes bad.
And your Planet of the Apes things makes sense, because if you really want to go ahead and sell it over four movies, we lose.
Yeah.
So then you got your Terminator and your Planet of the Apes type of storyline where the dinosaurs now roam the Earth again. And we have to try to take it back from them.
Post-apocalyptic Jurassic World movie. I'm fucking bored with that.
Starring Buccaneer fucking Savage. Yes. But you see what I mean? That's where it goes. Because
that's
now
the
only
place you can go eventually.
Exactly. There's no more theme park. Yeah. Literally, the battle for the Earth has begun.
I just got chills because the last Planet of the Apes movie, I loved it.
Yeah.
And if now...
And they were prequels.
They're prequels, So now you do ragtag... team of society has to collapse,
right?
And dinosaurs run the Earth.
That's how it works. And then we are constantly, and not only
like a dinosaur going up to like a nuclear power plant, just and then
destroying everything.
There goes 50 million people.
Exactly. But the dinosaurs survive.
He becomes an atomic hybrid freak.
It'd just be dinosaurs and roaches.
But then there's people who are trying to take the Earth back because they think they can repopulate it and make it fucking Earth again. And then there's also those like scientists in a bunker who are trying still to come up with better dinosaurs to go against those dinosaurs, but then they turn on us and you're just destroying the Earth over and over again.
And then you've just got armed bandits who are just like,
well, eventually
we're gonna kill anybody. There's no law, just fucking militias.
Maybe someone riding a T-Rex that has missile launchers on it. Something. We'll go that way.
Done.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. You go all kind of wanted, Walking Dead style, and you come across. So society's collapsed.
Yes.
You come across some guys, we caught a couple of them and tamed them and we rat them around or whatever. And they're just these fucking hillbilly cannibal
dinosaur
wranglers.
And I'm always a big guy for like cross fiction. Like I would love if like John McClane was caught in a skyscraper and then Batman showed up. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that fan fiction shit is the best. So like if you had, You say, again, the dinosaurs take over the earth and all that. And then, unfortunately, the humans are relegated to the desert. And then they become the war boys. And then Mad Max is there. And then, you know what I mean? You see what I mean? So, like, the dinosaurs run this part of the earth. But then that's why we've forced to become the society that kind of cannibalizes itself in the desert and fights over gas.
And, you know, the robots control certain parts of the earth. I mean, we could kind of segment it.
And also, we think that if we just stay in the desert long enough, the dinosaurs will turn into fuel for our war rigs anyway. So right. What the fuck?
Oh, God.
This is a lot of great speculation.
I love it. Yeah. Robots fighting dinosaurs and humans just trying to stay alive.
You see what I mean? Like, everybody's just at each other's goddamn throats.
Right.
And it's beast against fucking Psy Beast.
Oh, just fucking lasers and fangs.
Yep.
Hashtag lasers and fangs. Yeah. Spoiler rep 33. Yep.
Eventually, you're going to get Mecha Godzilla.
Oh, dude, I'm in.
All right. Great spoiler rep. I got chills for where this franchise is going. Such a blast.
So it's a lot of fun. So we will say, enjoy the movie for what it is. Don't nitpick it too much because you won't enjoy it as much. But it's one of those movies where it requires a large suspension of disbelief. But if you can get there and enjoy the dinosaur fun, it is a fun summer
movie. Just
hang
on for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Once you get to that second half of the movie,
uncross your arms.
Yes.
That's my advice for
and
this movie.
And be happy with two dimensions in each character.
Literally. Just sit back and let this movie happen to you.
Right. Yeah.
Because you're going to go, oh, that guy, can't wait till that guy dies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that guy's an idiot. He's going to die. Oh, that guy's a dick. He's going to die. Oh,
I hope they don't die.
He's eating a donut. There's no way he's going to survive the next scene.
I fucking got you're so bumbling McGillicuddy. I'm like, God, are you done? You are so, you're going to be fumbling with your tool belt. It's going to be.
The only twist was that the new guy got saved by Chris Pratt from the Raptors.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, well, he actually got saved.
It was great. It was, I hope this guy doesn't die. And all the good guys lived, basically, and all the bad guys got fucking thumped.
Yeah. This movie's a force of nature. You can't figure it out. Tornadoes just land and they wreck shit. That's what you just deal with this movie on that level and you're going to fucking love it.
Go.
Yep.
All right. That's spoiler up 33. Michael Schmidt, where can people find you on the World Wide Web?
You can go to facebook.com/the40-year-old boy. You can go to twitter.com/the40-year-old boy and you can go to mikeschmidtcomedy.com. And also, the 40-year-old boy podcast is available in iTunes. Go ahead and download it and tell everybody you love it.
And you'll be in Pittsburgh.
I'm in Pittsburgh on August 1st. That's a Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Other shows to be announced. So go ahead and, like I said, go to all those places and follow, and you'll listen and you'll find out. But right now, Pittsburgh is there. Go to brownpapertickets.com. Put my name in or put in the 40-year-old boy, and you'll find tickets for Pittsburgh, the Maker Theater, Saturday night, 8 o'clock, August 1st.
And don't forget that Mike Schmidt is also the writer, one of the writers on the Comedy Film Nerd's Guide to Movies, two great chapters on superhero movies and on sports movies.
And I just signed a bunch of books, so the first 10 people who listened to last episode or this episode, buy them and you'll get my signature.
Yep.
You'll get Chris' signature, my signature, and Mikey Schmidt's, ladies and gentlemen. That's our episode, guys. Spoiler up 33. We love it. Spoiler up season. It's summer spoiler up season. These are such a blast, and we love that you guys go ask and recommend, and are you guys going to do a spoiler up on this? So it's so great. Like us on the Facebook and everything like that, and you know, Shazam. I got some tour dates coming up. I'll be in Vegas in July, Tahoe in August, and some other places, and we're looking to take earbuds on the road.
Be a great fall.
Yeah, it'll be a great fall. All right, guys. Thank you once again. Michael Schmidt.
Thank you.
My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first. Unless it was a dinosaur.